The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is sponsored by Shopify, the platform I'm currently in the process of migrating to. Why the move away from Magento, which I've used for years? Well, Shopify has an enormous ecosystem of developers and apps, and their template framework is really well architected. Plus, of course, they're a hosted service so I can focus on my business instead of spending hours playing system admin and troubleshooting server problems. So if you're looking for a highly customizable solution you don't need a programmer to manage, check them out at shopify.com. Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, your headquarters for building a six-figure plus e-commerce business. I'm your host, e-commerce entrepreneur, and Jeff Bezos wannabe, Andrew Uderi. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate it. Today on the show, we're going to be diving into email marketing with Xiaowei Wang from Essence of email.com, who's nicknamed X. And X is what I would say is the preeminent email expert in the private forums. He's just dropped so much impressive knowledge about how to utilize email marketing for e-commerce entrepreneurs, and invited him on just to really kind of drill into his brain and expertise, ask a lot of questions I've been wondering about for a while. So we're going to be getting to that in just a minute. But first, want to go ahead and do a first sale shout out. And this one's going up to Jamie McLean from pedalandpost.com. This month, I quit my cushy corporate job of 18 years to follow my passion in e-commerce, writes Jamie. I just opened my store this afternoon and got my first sale. I was a senior marketing director for one of the 10 largest shopping center developers in the world and recognized that the mall business is a dying breed and that the future lies in e-commerce. I set out to create an experience digitally through a niche that I'm very passionate about, which is natural, organic beauty and lifestyle products. Please wish me best of luck and thanks for your help with the podcast. Jamie, that is amazing. Congratulations. I think, can we queue up some wild, crazy applause here for quitting your 18-year-old job to start an e-commerce business? So cool. And the fact that you also got a sale your first day you were live with your business, that's impressive. Jamie, congratulations. Thanks for listening and best of luck with the venture as you're moving forward. Let's go ahead and get into today's discussion on email marketing with X from essenceofemail.com. So X, I'm excited to have you on and want to dive into a lot of the nuts and bolts of email marketing in terms of nitty-gritty strategies, tactics, things like that. But before we do, I kind of want to talk about something just I didn't give this to you in the show notes earlier, so this might be a little bit of a surprise question I'm lobbing to you right out of the gates. But you know, you came in, I can't remember exactly where we met, but you came in into the forum, into the community. You kind of had a new agency, and like anyone coming into a new community, you know, I wasn't familiar with you, most people weren't, and you just started posting gobs of really good email marketing long form posts. And kind of got the reputation in the private forum as being like the go-to expert for email, like the guy who knew email better than anyone else. So some people come in and like, you know, I think being able to craft a reputation for having an expertise like that is unique. So, and some people come in and just kind of take. So I've just always been curious and wanted to ask you, was that intentional? Like, did you come in, were you playing long ball the whole time? Are you just a super giving guy? How did that work? Were you quarterbacking that all the way, you know, back 18 months ago?
Yeah, no, great question, Andrew. And thanks for the flattery there. But yeah, so basically, when I came onto forums, I was actually still working for my old agency back in California, and I was thinking of kind of getting out into my own and getting my own clients and starting up the thing. So I figured using the knowledge that I already had and really putting it out there, especially in a forum targeted to e-commerce shop owners, I think people can get a lot of value from it. And a lot of this stuff has been up in my head for the longest time. And I figured getting down the ideas onto paper would do the world more good than just sitting up in my head as well. So so that's kind of the short answer for jumping in and just writing it out. And there's still a lot more up there, but at least getting a little bit of out.
No, it is so cool because there's a decent number of service providers, not everyone, of course, but a handful that come in and just the hard pitch, you know, like, hey, we do this right out of the gates. If you need anything, help us. And it's just, and I mean, seeing your approach, the long ball approach of just adding a ton of value, becoming the expert, and then seeing that, you know, just kind of work out for you in the long run is very cool. So let's dive into the nitty gritty. I'm excited to get some feedback on email marketing and ask some questions I've been wanting to for a while. So we tried email marketing back in 2012, I think it was. And we started off pretty, cause we have, you know, we had a list and like, I'm sure a lot of clients that you work with, we didn't have a good consistent email marketing strategy, even though we had a decent sized customer base to be able to market to. And it started out fairly strong, you know, and we had a good start, but to be frank, it kind of petered out. You know, we got busy with other things. I think like we felt like we were sending the same email over and over with just a slightly different deal. So, you know, hey, here's this product on sale. And the next week it's a product, you know, X and then Y and then Z. And it didn't feel like we were adding value very well to our list, just really hitting them with deals. So is this something you see with a lot of e-commerce companies? And if so, like, what do you say to them? What kind of tips do you have to help them get started again? Or is it just that we need to suck it up and stop being scrubs and put more time and resources into our campaign?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I'd say it's probably more of the phenomenon that I see where people just haven't started. So they have never started versus started and stopped. So I'm going to talk about that briefly, and then I'll talk about some tips on if you have started and you just really want to restart the engine, what to do. So most of the time, people are kind of overwhelmed by email, or they don't see the potential in email. And that's really when there's that roadblock for starting email marketing in general. But what I like to tell both clients or anyone who asks me any questions regarding email, the best thing is just to get started, right? So the 80-20 rule that applies so well in life also applies in email marketing quite well. So we tell them, hey, here's a handful of, say, autoresponders that most e-commerce stores will do well to implement. And then on top of that, maybe you can have, even if it's a once per month regular promotion to a largely unsegmented list, that's still good to have that constant stream of communication with your customer base versus just going completely cold and never emailing your customers. So I'd say an 80-20 approach and really looking at your own company's resources and tailoring it to fit what you have available is the best way to go about it. And in terms of your situation, in terms of the starting and stopping, I mean, it sounds like I've read some of the blog posts you put up regarding that. It sounds like you were seeing some results, and the biggest roadblock that you just brought up is mostly that you felt like it was similar types of emails over and over again, and potentially the customers would get tired of them. Am I correct?
Yeah, it was a big part of it.
Right. So in that case, I'd say focus on segmentation, but on top of that, more so focus on the diversity of emails. So I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more later in this interview. But yes, if you're sending just here's another straight up discount every single week, then it does get tiring from your perspective and of course from your customers as well. But if you vary up the types of promotions, the different ways of presenting it via the different graphics, potentially using animated GIFs or video screen grabs, etc., and also including some more content around just potentially not just the product, but the community around the product, which may be easier to do for some shop owners than others. there's definitely, if you sell apparel, it's a lot easier, or sell outdoor gear, it's a lot easier to do so than if you sell something very technical. But based on your store, I'd say you can tailor fit some of the strategy we'll be discussing to jumpstart the program again.
What does your split look like for that? Like, and maybe there's no fast and hard rule, but between value adding content, you know, maybe it's a newsletter for industry news or tips for people in the industry versus actually hard sells where you're trying to pitch something. Is there a rule of thumb where you should say, hey, 50-50 split, or should each email have a little bit of both? Or is it really kind of really dependent on the store?
Yep. I tend to lean towards more of the selling. And of course, you know, always working towards becoming more targeted and having the offers be more relevant. But I tend to lean towards more of the selling. So more than the majority of the time, pushing either the products or category or just an overall discount, but then mixing it up also with more content-driven pieces. And even in those content-driven pieces, you want to keep the primary call to action to perhaps read your blog or visit whatever article or resource you have in there, but also have opportunities for them, if they are in a shopping mode, to also engage your website and make a purchase.
What about segmentation? I think segmentation is the magic, word when it comes to email marketing, really to anything, right? The more that you can specify your message toward a recipient, the better reception it's going to get. But I feel like it's something where it's a lot of times it's easier said than done. Some people are using stuff like maybe Klaviyo or really advanced email marketing programs where they can really get in and segment based on purchasing history. But some people don't have those tools. A lot of people are working with MailChimp or AWeber or something like that. And even some people who do have those more advanced tools like Klaviyo, maybe they can see their purchase history, but that purchase history may not be able to segment, help them identify the segments that they need to market to. Like for us, we sell radio equipment for vehicle owners. Sometimes we can see that, hey, somebody purchased this radio, but this radio could fit into half a dozen different cars. And so what's the best way for store owners to approach segmentation? You know, is it going in and asking people to like sending out an email that says, hey, click on the link which best describes you? Is it best to do based on what messages people actually read, for, you know, what messages people open and click on versus just ignoring? Is there an approach to that? Because I feel like that's something that really ties people and myself up.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is kind of a large question to chew on, but I'll try to keep it succinct. So first of all, in terms of what you just mentioned, yeah, it's going to depend on a couple of things. One is the actual functionality that your email service provider platform has, right? If you're using something that's much simpler, you're limited just from a technical perspective on what you can segment on, versus if you're using something that's fairly robust, such as Klaviyo, where you see all your data, then you have at least that much more data to play with, and you can segment along those lines. I'd say in terms of your question about whether or not we should send out an email to have some people self-identify, I'd say in general, it's not a bad idea, especially when incorporating that email as part of your welcome series for either new customers or potentially new prospects, to ask them to manage their preferences and let you know what types of emails or what types of products they're looking for. At the same time, that's probably not the most effective approach to rely on solely, just because people tend to have, or you tend to get rather low response rates than anything that's calling for an action such as that. So you might get, 5%, 10% people clicking on that email and actually submitting the form, which is good, is better than zero. But on top of that, you want to base your segmentation strategy on additional avenues. For example, you can look at behavioral segmentation. So that's looking purely on the actions that your visitors take. So a very simple example would be a cart abandonment email where they've taken the action of going to the shopping cart and placing items in there but haven't purchased. But even further, there's a lot of email service providers these days actually that, and this is going to sound a little big brother, but if they click on the we're marketers though, so it's okay. If they click on an email and they are already on your list, since you send them an email to people who are subscribed already, a lot of times you can have a snippet of code on your site and it integrates with your email service provider and it tracks their URL visits on your site. So it tracks every single page visit they come to after they clicked on the email. And you can base autoresponders or triggered emails based on which particular URLs they visited. So examples of how you can use this is potentially triggering emails based around a particular category or a subcategory, or even on a product level, if you have several top-selling products that outpaces the others, and you know someone has recently visited that product a few times via email, it's reasonable to assume that they show some pretty high affinity for that product, and hence, when you send an email around that, then it's much more targeted, and they're much more likely to read that and potentially convert. On top of that, we might talk about this a little bit in depth later, but you can also look at their behavior in terms of the metrics that you see in your ESP, right? So for example, their open rates, their click rates, you can segment different tiers of people based on how they're engaged with the email. If someone is in a tier that's opening 90% of your emails, you might treat them a little differently than if they've only opened one email in the last 6 months. So that's just two ideas. In general, segmentation is kind of a big beast. So if there's anything else specific on that, or we can just dive into it a little bit more as we move along.
No, it's good. And I think that's something where we were looking at. I think we just needed to kind of to step up and spend a little more time with segmentation of our master list. And it's something that sounds really, it's obviously it is super powerful and it sounds really nice to do, but at the end of the day, it takes a little while to refine and you gotta invest some time in getting it right. So that kind of begs the question in terms of segmentation, because it does require a tool with a package, an email package or platform with the right tools and functionality to be able to do that. So what would be your two recommendations for email platforms for e-commerce store owners? And maybe we could do it two categories, kind of an entry level category for someone who has a business or wants to get started and wants the most functionality for the buck, but budget is definitely concern. And then secondly, like just the, hey, you know, this is the Rolls Royce for the most part of, I mean, not just, you know, throwing budget completely aside, but this is not necessarily a budget option, but it is an incredible platform for, you know, merchants kind of in six or seven figures of revenue to be working with.
Yeah. If you don't mind and tell me if you do, I'll give you two for each of those categories.
Sure.
Rather than just one, just because we work across a variety of ones. So for the budget,
X is like, yeah, man, please don't help me make enemies here. You're asking me a really hard question on the spot.
we'll see. but in terms of the budget, actually, you mentioned MailChimp earlier. Depending on what your shopping cart is, MailChimp can actually be fairly powerful on the e-commerce front, and they've been having some recent developments that are increasing their e-commerce functionality. So I'd say if you're just getting started, there's nothing wrong with going with MailChimp. And they tend to be fairly stable since they are a really big company with sending a lot of email, right? So we actually have a lot of clients come to us starting on MailChimp or have used it in the past. And if you are on certain shopping cart platforms, for example, Shopify, their Shopify integration is pretty good. Their Magento one's decent. You can leverage that pretty well. And the other one that we've been using that, again, it all kind of depends on what store platform you are and how well it integrates with the ESP, because ultimately that's what's going to determine how much data and the quality of data you can get through to the email service provider. But we've been using ActiveCampaign. And what I like about them is, my favorite thing about them is their setup for, they call it work automations, but it's basically similar to autoresponder setup in MailChimp, but it's very, very graphical. So it's literally drag and drop the entire logic, and you can see every point of the logic in there. Whereas in MailChimp, it's they're getting much better, but it's still a bit more of a list form. So it's a little bit harder to visualize.
Got you. Great. I hadn't heard of that second one. What was the second one name again?
It's called ActiveCampaign, and they're not really targeted purely towards e-commerce, but their system's fairly flexible, and we've been using them for some of our clients with some success.
Okay, great, fantastic. So those are the two budget guys. Who are the more Rolls Royce of the email marketing platforms?
Yep. So I'd say if you want to step up, you have the budget to accommodate. My favorite for the next level would be Klaviyo, which I believe they're fairly new. I mean, I hadn't heard them about them until I believe I actually heard about them first from you, Andrew, when you wrote the blog post a while back. And we've seen a lot of clients on Klaviyo, and they're really good in that they're very focused towards e-commerce and thus understand what is needed in terms of the data and the functionality for e-commerce. So that would be my top recommendation on that level. And then this is a bit more costly, but if you have the money to spend, Bronto is another very powerful e-commerce focused email service provider, and they accommodate pretty much from mid-level to enterprise level clients. So if your needs are that high, then they're pretty powerful as well.
Yeah, Klaviyo is a great, super great platform. We were really impressed with it. And it's impressive. Ed Helen and the team over there, they are pretty new. I think they've been maybe around just like, you know, maybe 3 years, maybe a little bit more. Not sure, kind of going off the cuff here. But it's impressive what they've built up and the reputation that they've earned for themselves in such a short period of time. They've got a great platform.
Yep, so, absolutely.
X, what do you see with, you know, what do you see with guys, well, just shop owners in general that are really killing it with email and doing well? Is it, Is it they're super consistent? Is it that they've got fun, interesting emails they're sending out? Is it unreal segmentation? Or does it have to be, are they just doing all three of those really well? Like what are the, and maybe that's a, maybe that's too softball or too easy of a question, but is there anything that how deep do people have to kind of invest in email marketing to really see some impressive results?
Yeah, great question. So I'd say it, at the fundamental level, it comes down to two main things, right? So one, I'd say, is having a plan in terms of what you want to do with email, right? So having that strategic roadmap of, hey, this is where we are today, and this is where we want to get going. I'm a big fan of the crawl, walk, run approach, where if you're just starting out, then start out slow and do this low-hanging fruit first. And then once you're walking, you can start implementing some more advanced initiatives, and when you get really advanced and you're sprinting down that path, then you can have all the fun super targeted emails as well. But I'd say the single biggest thing is just getting started for a lot of people. And if they have gotten started, just focusing on the low hanging fruit in terms of basic series and a basic promotional calendar where they're sticking to it and continue with it. So like I mentioned earlier at the start of the interview, that, you know, I'd much rather you have a consistent email program where maybe you're sending once per month versus if you're sending four times per month, but you're stopping and starting and stopping again. So I'd say those two are probably the key, is the consistency and then having the plan and following that plan. But on top of that, there's, of course, many things that go into a successful program, right? So I'd say with smaller shops in particular, and this, again, works for some brands better than others, but really for the ones that it is a good fit for, having very clever and witty copywriting, something that's relatable that people like to read, anything that uses humor or uses very nice images. Basically, I'd say like eye candy design. A lot of times I'd open up emails just to look at the images, right? I don't think I'm the minority there. So things like that, having unique offers, having diversity of those offers. So not just having a single discount every single week. And then also on top of that, if you do have a product that has a pretty passionate community, then bringing that into the fold and speaking to them can also be powerful.
What about, you know, you kind of mentioned small businesses versus big businesses. What can smaller entrepreneurs, smaller e-commerce shops do with email marketing that larger brands just can't? Are there any unfair advantages that we have? I mean, you kind of hear about competing against Amazon, you can obviously you can specialize, you can offer a higher degree of customer service. What does that break down to in terms of email marketing where small guys have the upper hand?
Yeah, so I'd say if anything, I prefer small brands over larger brands in terms of email. I think there's a lot of advantages. Primarily, the first thing would be you are a smaller brand, so you can really put a very personal touch onto your communication. For example, a lot of our clients, what we do, especially in welcome emails, is we would include like a team photo or an owner's photo signature and speak, make the copy speak like it's speaking from the owner. Also, I'd say one of the advantages that smaller businesses have versus larger brands is the speed and agility you can move, right? So a big problem with larger brands, and this is speaking from at least my experience working with them in the past, is that they have a lot of bureaucracy and also a lot of bulky legacy systems, right? So whether that's technology systems or others, it's just hard to get things working properly. Even just to segment, I mean, if you're trying to segment a list that's 10 million people, that's a lot to worry about in terms of the database queries and getting it to play nicely with your existing platform. So I'd say one of the biggest advantages is you can just get things moving, right? You can identify some email initiatives that you want to do, and maybe by next week you've already launched and they're live. They may not be perfect yet, but you can always optimize later versus if you have to get approval from the design team, from the marketing team, and a year later, you finally get one email set up. So I'd say those are probably the biggest advantages that for a small business owner versus a larger brand.
Great. And you've kind of mentioned throughout our discussion so far the different sequences or email campaigns people should have. And I think most people, especially store owners, are going to be familiar with the big ones, like, you know, obviously the newsletter that you send out to you just kind of to your blast list, or at least to your segmented list on a regular basis. You've got cart abandonment emails that go out anytime somebody starts checking out, they don't finish, you send them a follow-up email. Probably a post-purchase follow-up that just thanks them for their order and follows up to see, you know, how they're doing, things like that. Those are the big ones people know about. Are there any really effective sequences or campaigns that people don't maybe think of initially, but that are really important to consider and really can be potentially really effective?
Yeah, absolutely. So we already touched upon one particular one when we're talking about behavioral segmentation. So setting up triggers that are based on their website visits. So whether that's triggers based around a category, a subcategory, a product, etc. Another thing to consider, especially if you, this only applies to maybe a smaller segment of people, but if you sell any sort of consumable products, sending a reorder reminder around the time when that product might be finished. So for example, if you're selling like vitamins and it's each bottle lasts you 6 months, then at a 6 month mark, send them an email reminding them to orders. And this also applies to things like beauty products, etc. So that's something that people might not have thought about. Let's see. Another thing is you can, based on past order data, you can send emails if it makes sense. Again, this is more case by case, but either upselling or cross-selling on different products, right? So based on what they ordered, you know that potentially in the future at X time, you can send something where they're looking for a product that is either like an upgrade or something that's related that they can send. Another more specific example would be if you were a gifts retailer or anyone where it's very seasonal, having for people who sell gifts, for example, we've done in the past things that are based around like 365 days later, because, you know, as you can imagine, a lot of times the gifts are for a special occasion that's a lot of times annual. So that's one thing to consider. I'd say also if you want to look at your repurchase data, one thing we tend to look at is the latency between repurchases, right? So if what we found is many times the week to month or so right after first purchase is when it's most likely that someone's going to purchase again. So this might differ based on the data that you see in your shopping cart, in your order database, but based on what you see, the times when people are most likely to order, you can set your reminders or even have a personalized email targeted towards those time ranges, and it'll likely see much more beneficial effect.
What about email templates? Like one thing that we did or that I noticed that was really difficult for us when we were sending email was Klaviyo is super powerful, super great in terms of segmentation, but it can't be a credible design. That's not what they focus on. And so a lot of our emails that went out, we had a logo at the top, but they were not going to win any design awards. I'm a terrible designer, you know, and leading from that perspective, you know. So, and I've always been, maybe this sounds really silly and I'm sure some people will laugh, but I've always been a little confused about how to make emails pretty, to be frank. Like, is it when somebody drops up on a really nice email template, is that just HTML and CSS? Is it just almost exactly the same elements that would go into a good web design that are just loaded into an email? And if that's the case, how do you get a great email template? Do you go on Odesk and just find someone who designs them? Should any designer be able to put it together? How does it work, and how do we get something that looks decent?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to talk about the technical side of an email template first. So there's, even though email is made in HTML and some more inline CSS, it is much different than coding for a web page, because a lot of elements that you can use in a web page, you have to do it differently or it just doesn't render well in email. For example, you can't really use div tags. You need to use table tags for basically all the structuring of the emails. And that's just one quick example. But in terms of the things to consider with the email design, yeah, you really want to find someone who knows not only just basic HTML and CSS, but also the best practices and the technical side of email coding, because there's three things I'd say that are, there might be more, but three off the top of my mind that are important for email coding. Number one is a lot of email clients or ISPs block images by default. So for that reason, you really don't want an email template that's too image heavy. Of course, you definitely want to have images, right? Because for people who do see the images or load the images, they're powerful. But a lot of times, even with a lot of bigger brands, I find some of them focus way too much on just pretty images, whereas they should also be optimizing their email with HTML styling so that when the images are blocked, which happens a lot of times, they just don't have a blank page, which sometimes you'll see that literally their emails are just like a blank page with some alt text because it's all image-based. So that's one thing to be aware of. The other thing is cross-email client rendering, right? So just like cross-browser rendering, it is important to make sure your email looks good across the different clients, whether it's Outlook or Gmail Webmail, or if it's AOL, Yahoo, mobile, etc. And it actually is more difficult than it should be, just because I think email in general is just a little bit more of a, I don't want to say outdated technology, but older technology. So a lot of practices which were good in back in the day aren't as relevant these days. But it just if you don't check up on how your template's rendering, it could break a lot across different clients. Particularly things like Outlook is notorious for just breaking your emails and just screwing up how it looks. So that's another important thing. And then finally, I'd say in this day and age, being mobile responsive, or at least having mobile friendly layouts, is very important because mobile is one of the biggest trends these days, and a lot of consumers are engaging with their emails on mobile first. So it's important to make sure it's optimized for mobile devices.
And so where would you go? Well, before I ask that question, if you get a good template made for you, is that something where you can just take almost like the HTML and inline CSS? Anytime you load up a new message, you pretty much copy that code from your template right into the message, and then you can customize it accordingly. Is that fair to say that that's how it works?
Yep. So if you know enough HTML/CSS, mostly HTML, that you can just go into raw code and just, change the links, change the product references and everything there, then yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, because we find that causes the least number of errors. Also, if you have that template in a lot of email service providers, what you can do is you can tag the table elements and the other elements within the HTML code so that when you load it into the email service provider, it actually loads and you can use the WYSIWYG template builder based on your custom template. So I'm sure if the listeners have been on MailChimp or Klaviyo or a lot of the popular ones, they see that there's the drag and drop templates that are available just by default. If you code it correctly with the custom template, you can make it so that your custom template, you can drag and drop elements into it as well. It's a little bit more finicky than just modifying the raw HTML because whenever you engage with some of those WYSIWYG builders, it can screw up the code a little bit. But in general, you can get custom templates made with the correct code for your email service provider. And then moving forward, you can drag and drop and manipulate the templates that way.
And is there any particular website where brilliant world-class email template, crafters, creators hang out, or is probably your best bet just to go to Odesk potentially and look for someone on there? Any recommendations on how to find someone to build one for you?
Yeah, great question. So in terms of ones that are specifically like, with WordPress, you have like ThemeForest and all that, right? And I have seen some decent templates there, but in general, I think your best bet is to, and it's a little tough, right? Because on Odesk, you have a lot of people who think they know HTML, and they do, but they don't really know the email side. And maybe they do know the technical side, but the best practices, they lack the knowledge of that, right? Because like I just mentioned, a lot of the image blocking and where you should, the headers, the footers, etc., that's important to know as well. So maybe finding someone good on Odesk and then directing them based on best practices that you read would be good as well. We actually, not to toot our own horn right now, but we actually provide custom templates as part of our autoresponder setup packages as well. But I'd say, yeah, if you want to do it, go ahead and and find someone who knows their stuff, and you'll probably need to direct them a bit more unless you find someone who's really done a lot of email coding before and also knows the best practices.
Great. Is there a sneaky trick people use to get their images shown by default? I know that a lot of email service providers, like you said, like Gmail, for example, won't show images by default until you say, hey, yes, I always want to see images from this sender. But I feel like sometimes I'll get emails from brand new people I've never heard from before, and they'll just be there in full gorgeous color illustration, and I haven't authorized any of them. So how do they get that to happen? Like, is there some sneaky trick we can do to get our images to load by default?
Yeah, great question. So actually Gmail, I guess fairly recently, it's been a few months, but they've actually moved towards more just having images by default regardless of whether you select it. And you can turn off that setting, which I actually have turned off. But they've been using routing images through their proxy servers. So now a lot of times if you're getting an email, even if it's the first time, you can see the images by default. So they're moving towards leading the charge in terms of moving towards that sort of world. But in terms of getting other clients, email clients, to display your images by default, you know, you really need them to click on show images or always show images for the sender. And it's a little different for different clients. For some, if they just put you on to their whitelist, i.e. adding them to address book or specifying that your domain is something they want to receive, then in the future, they'll always see it by default. But to my knowledge, there's no sneaky trick to be able to really bypass the image blocking. Again, there's some things you can do with just HTML styling where it looks like there's certain buttons that look like they are potentially images but are actually just cleverly styled HTML. But in terms of full-on images, no, not that I know of.
Oh, Axe, you should have said, yes, there is, but it's only available to Essence of Email clients. Contact
yeah,
me for details. So a couple more questions, and then I want to ask you about what you've got going over on it at Essence of Email.
Sure.
Email list maintenance and house cleaning, it's something that people hear about. You know, you get a list built up, and eventually over time you should go through and do house cleaning, remove people who aren't reading it, you know, really get people to unsubscribe if they're not engaged. Why should you do that, one? And then what's the best way to go about doing that in terms of structure? Do you actually send out an email and say, hey, I know some people at the very top of their email say, hey, unsubscribe if you don't like this. Or sometimes people send out emails challenging people to unsubscribe. And then other times people will just simply remove people who aren't engaging. So can you give us the why and the how on how to go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try to give that quickly. It's a little deeper of a discussion. But so the main thing with cleaning your house list is that, you know, a lot of people are thinking, oh, you know, these people aren't engaging, so we might as well remove them. But there's actual harms for keeping people who are very disengaged on your list, primarily harming your deliverability potentially. So just to backtrack for anyone who doesn't know what deliverability refers to, basically it refers to your ability to get into the inboxes of your subscribers. So if you have bad deliverability, a lot of times your email would either get rejected or placed into a spam box, whereas if you have good deliverability, your contacts can actually see your email. So the way it works, where the dormant contacts on your list could potentially hurt your inboxing and your deliverability, is because just like if people are familiar with SEO, there's a lot of ranking factors there. With email, determining what your deliverability is, there's a lot of ranking factors with that as well. And if anything, it might even be a bigger black box in that each ISP, so Gmail and Yahoo and Hotmail, they all have a little bit different algorithms to determine that. But that being said, all of them look at several factors. So one factor that's strongly weighed either in your favor or against you is your complaint ratio. So what percentage of the email you sent have people clicking on that spam button? If it's a high percentage, generally the rule of thumb is 0.5% on any particular send. You want to be well below that. If you have a high ratio of spam complaints, then you're going to get hurt in terms of your deliverability, which then means you're hurting across your entire list and not just the lists, the part of lists that are dormant. Another thing is, this factor is a little bit less weighted, but also is important, is the engagement of your list. So if you're sending to a list as highly disengaged, then the ISPs are going to look at that and see, hey, your emails aren't really being opened as much and compared to other people, and they're not, your subscribers aren't really reading them. So thus, that indicates to them that it's a higher chance that you are a bad sender. So that's one other thing, reason why we want to clean the list. So a lot of the reasons surround deliverability in particular, but also, you know, there's of course a little bit of a hard cost in terms of, and it actually could be fairly significant depending on the size of your list, right? Because a lot of ESPs are based on your list size or the amount of emails you sent. So if you're sending to a largely disengaged part of the list that's not really making you any money, then there's a hard cost associated with that as well. So on top of that, I'd say in terms of how to go about a list cleaning strategy, this is where you're referring to the, hey, come back and subscribe, et cetera. So what we refer to that as kind of a win back / re-engagement series. So taking, based on whatever your criteria is, whether it's people who haven't opened in, you know, in the last 6 months or people who haven't opened in the last year, et cetera, depending on your list, identifying the folks who are dormant and then sending them a specific sequence of emails that are asking them to come back and shop and or confirm their subscription again. Most of the time it's framed as, hey, come back to shop with us, and then potentially giving a discount sometime within that sequence. And the idea here is A, to get them to click through your emails, but also even just to open them. Because a lot of times you have portions of your contact that they haven't opened in 6 months, and you keep sending to them, you don't know if they're the good or potentially completely dormant contacts. But if you send a re-engagement series, and even if they just open and look at the email, that's signaling to you that, hey, there's at least some life to them. So perhaps taking that portion of folks and bringing them back into the fold. I'd say in terms of a holistic strategy for list cleaning, it actually pairs quite well with having a strategy for segmenting for frequency as well. So instead of just taking one point in time and saying, hey, these folks are not engaged at all, let's try to win them back and then unsubscribe them, you start from the top. So as soon as they get on the list, they're actually, as they progress, you're placing them into different engagement tiers. So if they're very engaged with you, they might be in their top tier. And if they're less engaged, they might be in the middle tier. And then if one tier below that, a disengaged tier, and then if they fall below a threshold after that, then they go into this dormant segment, if you will, and then they are qualified for your win-back series. I don't know if that's super clear, but basically the idea is to start having a strategy around keeping your list healthy to begin with.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. X, can you give us a sense of what you do? Your firm is essenceofemail.com. Can you give us a sense of kind of what you do there, who you help, and really who you're, you know, who the ideal person who can benefit from your services is?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are specific for email marketing, and our clients are all e-commerce shops, basically. Mostly B2C, some that sell somewhat B2B, but mostly B2C. And we offer a couple of different services. Our primary one right now is doing autoresponder setups for your email marketing. So this generally applies for people who have been in business for a little bit, who has a list of past customers, say maybe a year or two of past customers, but haven't really done too much email. And here what we do is we go in and we kind of handle from scratch, creating the autoresponder series and setting it up, having custom templates and getting everything live and rolling. So that's one thing we help people out with. Another thing is, this is more applicable for folks who have done some email in the past, but are really looking for a strategy around their marketing versus just more haphazard. And what this is we go ahead and we create a strategic audit of your program. So looking at historical metrics and your email program as a whole, and forming a very detailed plan with action items and logic behind each, and handing that over to almost be that strategic roadmap that we talked about earlier, right? Having a plan for email. but there's no implementation around that. And then we also have kind of managed services for people who want more ongoing help with email.
There have been so many people in the forums that have come forward and said, man, we hired X. He came in and did a phenomenal job. Really highly recommend it. We've got a kind of a recommended contractors thread in there. And I think you've made appearances multiple times from, from many of your clients. And so, I have no hesitations at all putting, you know, 100% of my recommendation behind X and Essence of Email. It's pretty incredible work he does over there. So X, thanks man so much for letting me just pretty much mine you for information for the better part of an hour here on email. You know so much, and it's great to be able to dig into that. So thank you.
Yep. Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew. I really enjoyed being on here, and if there's ever any email questions, you know where I am.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's going to do it for this week. But if you're interested in launching your own e-commerce store, download my free 55-page ebook on niche selection and getting started. And if you're a bit more experienced, look into the E-Commerce Fuel private forum. It's a vetted community for store owners with at least 4,000 in monthly sales or industry professionals with at least a year or more experience in the e-commerce space. You can learn more about both the ebook and the form at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.